Welcome to Career Tours. This week, is this normal? Travel expectations. The questions this cast answers are, is it normal to be asked to travel, even in a non-travel job? And is it normal to say yes or no to those requests?
Folks, if you're thinking about bringing manager tools training into your organization, we recommend you talk to us first before you talk to HR or somebody in training. Certainly, it's fine if you go that way, but we usually can help in terms of what HR is looking for and what you need to know from us in order to have that conversation. We promise we will be the best management training your organization has ever seen. We hope to talk to you about it. Reach out to Maggie at manager-tools.com.
If you've ever wondered whether something you're going through is normal, then is it normal? This series will help you sort things out. And lots of us wonder whether our experience is different enough from other people's that we should worry about it or that we should take action on it. And we don't know because you can't live someone else's experience. We've done a couple of casts around Is This Normal? On Manager Tools. This is the first one we've done on Career Tools. And we are going to answer a couple of fairly standard questions. Is it normal to be asked to travel in a non-travel job? And the follow-up question, is it normal to say yes or no? And we'll also give you some guidance about what to do after you've been asked to travel.
So our outline for today, one, is it normal to be asked to travel even in a non-travel job? Then, is it normal to say yes or to say no? Then, make reasonable attempts to travel. And the last piece, travel anyway.
That sounds really confusing, but I think it will become clear. So the first part of this is it normal to be asked for travel even in a non-travel job? And the answer is yes, it is normal to be asked. So a non-travel job is a job where you are at one location or maybe two locations very close to each other. A job that is not sales, the way you're going out to clients. It's not a consultant where you're going out to client sites. It's not like you, Sarah, a trainer who goes out to client sites and is gone. There's lots of jobs where you may be gone a couple of days a week or you are gone Monday to Friday. And those are what we're calling as travel jobs. Then there's lots of reasons for non-travel jobs, so a sort of standard job where you would expect to be home every night. There are reasons why in those jobs you may have to travel occasionally. The kind of things you might be asked to do or to travel for are trainings, team meetings, off-sites, some special meetings. Sometimes there's an all-hands meeting, which means that you have to go somewhere else. It's usually only one or two nights away, and it's usually no more frequent than once a month. So you may have one night away once a month, you may have two nights away every other month, but it's not usually more frequent than that. If it was more frequent than that, we'd call it a travel job, and that's a whole different kettle of fish. It may require an airline flight, depending on where you are. It wouldn't be further probably than New York to LA. So that's across the country, which is a long way here in the US, but not in other places. In Europe, you might be required to go to another country just because the countries are so close together. So if you were in Germany, you might go to Belgium or France. You might go to Switzerland or Luxembourg, those close countries. In the UK, you might go to France, probably not. The channel in the middle makes it further than it really is. So you might be able to have to cross a national border in Europe. In the US, if you are close to the Canadian border, you might have to go across to Canada or vice versa. But in general, you wouldn't cross national borders. You wouldn't probably be asked to go from the US to a South American country, for example. Those bigger journeys are, again, what we would classify as travel jobs. And those, again, are a whole different kettle of fish.
Absolutely. This level of travel is what we're addressing in this guidance, right? Those couple of days, relatively close by. And if you've got a written contract, travel such as this type, kind of falls into the other duties as required or fulfill reasonable requests. These would be considered your reasonable requests. And almost everyone's job description or contract, again, covers things like this. It's got that phrase included for a reason like that. And any more travel than this would fall into, as Wendy said, the bucket that we call jobs that actually require travel, which is a whole different set of guidance than what we're discussing today. So then the next part of our guidance is it normal to say yes or no? So yes, it is normal to be asked to travel, to say yes, and to say no. In most cases, we'd recommend that you do travel to the event you're being asked to go to, though. If it's important enough that the company asked you to travel to the meeting or training, what have you, then it's important to your career. And traveling to that event, in our opinion, is absolutely the right thing to do.
And we're going to talk about some special cases in a minute. But just before we go on, we're going to make, what's the right word?
Abundantly clear?
Yeah, we're going to make a special statement. If you were reading this, it would be in red and capital letters. Saying no is okay, but it hurts your career. It has consequences. So whilst you can say no, and we will tell you some circumstances in which you might, be very careful. And that's why the last part of this guidance is travel anyway, because even if it's inconvenient and even if it's something you don't want to do, because it's so harmful to your career to say no, especially if you say it more than once, we want you to, as your default, think, I'm going. And then we'll see if the second special circumstances apply. So with that, in 99% of cases, we say go. And there are some personal and professional issues that occur to create a situation where you might say no. But like delegation, this is a 3 strikes and you're out kind of situation. In fact, it might even be a 1 or 2 strikes and you're out. So if you consistently refuse to go to a meeting, or say you're not able to go to a meeting, the ability to go to a meeting is kind of in your own head. So if you say, I'm not able to, that can be seen by a manager as you're refusing to. And that's sometimes when managers and employees get at cross purposes because they interpret ability differently. But if you say, I can't go to this meeting and you can't go to the next one, it is right and proper for your manager to draw conclusions about your commitment to the job, the company, and your career. They will draw conclusions, and they're probably right to draw the conclusions that they do. So we want to make it really clear that even if it's inconvenient, even if you don't want to, the default is yes. And it's got to be pretty special circumstances for you to say no.
Absolutely. So we want you to, in all cases, again, make reasonable attempts to travel. So for this level of travel, it's expected an employee would make their best efforts to make that type of journey, to go on that trip. And the company themselves would make concessions in order to make it easier for employees to attend that event. So what we've done here is we've listed common issues, things that may come up that could make it difficult for you to travel, and in turn, what's reasonable, right, for the company to expect you to do. Because there are those times when there is something reasonable. Again, as Wendy kind of said, reasonable is all in the mind of the beholder, though. So it's important for us to define that. And it's important not to turn this conversation into a battle. That is, if your boss wants you to go to a team meeting that requires an overnight stay, and you feel that it's really not possible, what we would say is, first, always suggest compromises. So for example, is there a portion or a part of the meeting that I can attend if, for example, I'm unable to stay the full 2 days? Or what are the other options? Is there telephone or teleconference alternatives to allow you to be in attendance, but maybe not having to do the travel that goes into that? Is there a series or are there multiple events whereby if you had more notice, you'd definitely be able to attend next time, but this time due to shorter notice, you're unable to? You want to first have a conversation about finding solutions, alternatives, so that You're not forcing your boss into your preferred action, rather showing that you are open to attending. You want to be a part of it. You want to be available for it. So you're willing to, I want to say, go out of your way to try your best to show up.
So one common situation is children. Lots of people have children. And we're going to talk about what the minimum expectation is in a minute. But if you have children who you feel comfortable leaving for some time with a family member, then you can ignore this. You can just leave them and go to the meeting. If you have older children, a child in college, really that child should be able to be left. So, and if you say, I can't leave my college-aged child because he doesn't know how to cook for himself, your boss is rightly going to think, really? You're either making excuses or you're not a very good parent. So we would expect companies to excuse mothers of babies who are under a year old for overnight travel or travel that substantially lengthens their work day. So we know that babies need to be fed and they need to be fed by their mothers a lot of the time. So if that's what you're doing, then it's reasonable for you to say to your boss, look, I'm still with my baby. I still need to be with my baby every day. I can't do this. Let's find a different solution. And again, if you can leave your baby with a family member and you feel good about that, then it's absolutely fine for you to travel. What we're saying is it's reasonable for you to say to your boss, if the baby is small, I'm really not comfortable leaving him or her just yet.
Absolutely. Parents then of school-aged children who have another adult in the home, who is not at work when the children are at home, would then again be expected by the organization to possibly leave the kids at home for one, maybe even two nights. There's another parent there, someone that can, I want to say, pick up the load of your absence.
Obviously, someone the children knows and that you're comfortable leaving. Like, we're not saying just rent a nanny for the night and it's like someone you've never met. That's fine, you know. But if there's somebody, you know, most people who, by the time they have school-aged children, have, you know, somewhere, even if the kids can go to a play date and sleep over somewhere, it doesn't actually have to be at your house. Try and think of some solutions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then there would be the case of children who have illnesses or disabilities, which means they couldn't be left with just anybody. They couldn't be left with a family member. That would be an undue or unexpected burden. So in that situation, the employee would be excused from travel just because they likely are the only person capable of fulfilling those needs for that child.
And just to be clear, again, we're saying if the child can be left or if the family member can be left and you feel comfortable with it, then definitely go. What we're saying is this is a special circumstances where you would probably be forgiven for saying no. But again, really consider your career, your default being yes, and try and make that happen.
You asked and we delivered. On April 9th and 10th, we'll be hosting our first ever conference event in Kansas City. We'll be there with both the Effective Manager and the Effective Communicator conferences. You can attend one or both. That's completely up to you. But if you want to see us return in 2020, we're going to need to see a good turnout. So pass on the word and let's make this event a huge success. Register today at manager-tools.com/training. See you there.
So next up, finances.
Mm-hmm. So while companies will typically pay for an individual's airline tickets, oftentimes expenses like gas, tolls, train tickets, other small expenses, even as much as hotel nights, they're typically up to the employee to pay and be reimbursed. And the reason for that is airline tickets, you do need to pay in advance. Oftentimes, those other expenses are ones that you incur in the moment or after you've actually spent it. Now, if the cost of travel is no more than 1% of your weekly or monthly net pay, then it is reasonable for the company to expect that you pay and are, after the fact, reimbursed for that cost. You can also be reasonably expected to make efforts to reduce the cost. So, for example, car sharing with another coworker, what have you, or traveling during off hours, things like that that would decrease the amount of expenses that the company themselves would incur although you are putting it out of pocket upfront.
And if it's more than that, or it's an amount that would cause difficulty for you and your family, then your boss should be willing to accommodate your needs. For instance, you can get prepaid cards for gas and tolls. Train tickets can usually be bought online in advance. Hotel nights can be prepaid, including sometimes the amount for incidentals, which is things like water or snacks that you buy in the hotel, which is charged to the room. Usually a hotel requires a credit card in case you go mad and buy the whole minibar. But actually, that can often be paid in advance out of the way. So if you're in an hourly paid job, perhaps you don't have a credit card that is sufficient to cover a hotel room and incidentals, in which case it's fine for you to say to your boss. Now, what we're saying is, again, go back to the same point. We're not saying don't go because you can't afford this thing or you don't have a mechanism for paying it. What we're saying is you go to your boss and you say, I really want to go and this is a problem for me. How can we solve it?
Absolutely. The next request would be as it regards to health. So many people have health concerns that make travel or being outside of their typical or their normal routine rather difficult. Now, the ADA and other equivalent laws require employers to make accommodation for employees with health issues. But that does not mean that you should demand extensive changes to your boss's plan if you can get away with not doing so. So, for example, asking that the whole team be flown to your location rather than a meeting in a central location whereby you would travel would be something we would consider not reasonable.
Yeah, we're not going to fly 10 people to you when the other 10 people are in one place, you know, and you're going to have to fly. On the other hand, it's reasonable to ask to take breaks during the day, to be able to leave the room when necessary, to eat at certain times, to be able to sit or stand when you need to, or to sometimes to be excused social events, which are just social events. The social event thing brings up, you know, the social time is when you get to know your coworkers, you develop relationships. It's the non-formal time when you can really work on those relationships and get to know people. So I can understand that at the end of a long day of meetings, you're tired and you probably don't want to go to dinner. But if you can, like, make your default yes. And if you only get through appetizers and then you really have to go lie down, then it's at doing your best to be part of the gang, I guess, you know, to be part of what's going on.
Right. And frankly, it's not just the perception of your boss. It's your coworkers.
That's true. Like, well, why is that person so antisocial?
Right. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, people will assume that, you know, they won't assume, oh, they've got an illness. If they don't know that you've got something, they won't assume that. They'll just assume that you didn't want to come out and play.
Exactly.
If you've gone to a destination for a specific meeting, a team meeting or an all hands or whatever, and on the day, say you've flown in the night before and you get up the next morning and you are sufficiently sick that you wouldn't have gone to work, then it's okay to miss the training, right? We don't want you there. If you wouldn't be at work, then you're not capable of doing whatever's in the meeting. And again, it's reasonable for you to miss that. Now, again, someone I used to live with, house share with, used to say, if you come home from work sick and you do all of the things you've been thinking about doing, like, oh, one day I really must tidy my Tupperware cupboard, and you tidy your Tupperware cupboard, you weren't really sick.
You weren't sick enough to stay home.
Yeah, exactly. Because everybody has all those things that they get home and you think, oh, I've got like 4 spare hours, what shall I do? And everybody's got a list of those things, right? If you feel too sick to do those things, then you were sick enough to come home. So that's one way to judge whether or not you really should go to this meeting or whether you really are sick enough to stay in your hotel room.
I like that criteria. That's good. Now, the next reasonable request that we're going to discuss is pre-planned activities. So it's reasonable to ask your boss to accommodate large pre-planned events that have significant financial or emotional components to them. So an example of that would be like a wedding or like a graduation of a close family member. I want to say funeral, although that's harder to pre-plan, but a funeral.
Well, sometimes it's a week, right? You know?
Absolutely. Or a 90th birthday party, things like that. Large pre-planned events that you have going on. Now, we would also define a close family member as, so a parent, a sibling, an aunt or uncle, in-laws, cousins. And some people even have non-family members or more distant relationships that they are really close to that person for any number of reasons and would define that person as family. We would count those people as well, those close relationships.
And what we were talking about is significant, rare events. It is not reasonable to say, I can never be away on a Thursday night because that's date night. Right? It's date night 52 weeks of the year. You can miss one. Or if you can't, I think that says something about your relationship. But we're not doing relationship tools. It's not reasonable to be a parent and never, ever miss a game that your child is playing in. I know that's heartbreaking for children and for parents. But if you put the child's game, every single game, ahead of your career, again, your boss is reasonable in drawing conclusions from those. And those conclusions are negative. And that's not good for you. And it's a reasonable thing. You can expect that an adult's birthday party or an adult's birthday day is missed. If it's your 27th birthday or your 33rd, sorry, you've had 32 already, you may not remember the first one, but the actual day, if your birthday is a Wednesday and that's when the team meeting is and you have to stay away on Wednesday night, it's reasonable for your boss to expect that you will do that and celebrate your birthday on a different day. Valentine's, St. Patrick's Day, you know, those second tier holidays. Again, if you're an adult, you can miss those. I feel like I'm breaking somebody's heart here, but again, we're thinking the default is yes. And those second tier holidays are not enough to change the default from yes to no.
Absolutely. There's also an aspect of notice that goes into this as well. So if you're not normally required to travel, then it's reasonable to expect a certain amount of notice that you may need in order to do so, because it's such an outside of the ordinary event. Now, how long that actually is depends on the distance. It depends on how long you're expected to be away. If you're going to a different location within your city for the same workday as you normally would have, then 1 or 2 days notice is going to be sufficient. It's not a huge change to your routine. That said, for longer trips or something that actually requires you to make arrangements for travel, such as airplane flights, for childcare, then a couple of weeks in advance would be reasonable notice for you to be expected to change your plans and to attend that meeting or event.
And now my favorite, pets, because I have a cat who I love. It is reasonable for the company to expect that you will board an animal for a couple of days or find someone to look after them. And again, if you have a really small puppy, then you probably don't want to leave them, but I don't actually think that's enough. No, Paul, cut that bit out. There are plenty of places which are professional and will look after your cat, dog, snake, what other pets do people have? Hedgehogs. There are plenty of places to find where people will look after your animal, and you are expected to cover the cost of those arrangements in the same way that you would be covering childcare costs. And again, you could say no because you have a 2-month-old puppy and you don't feel that you want to leave it, and your boss will draw conclusions and they'll be negative, and it is reasonable for him or her to do so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So then the last part and the pinnacle of our guidance, travel anyway. What we've said so far in our guidance implies that in certain situations, you could get out of meetings or travel. And to some extent, that is absolutely true. There are reasonable expectations. You can get out of going to certain meetings when these circumstances apply. However, you might not want to do that if you can at all avoid it, because there are going to be certain consequences to your doing so. Companies expect a certain willingness from their employees to work with them in and through unusual situations. It's part of the give and take of a relationship. If there is 6 feet of snow outside your door and the powers that be are saying don't travel except for in emergencies, you would expect that the company would have your back in that, would allow you to stay home, even though there's nothing actually making them do so. There's no law saying if there's 6 feet of snow, you cannot come to work. If you get an accident on the way to work, you expect the company to give you some grace for being late to deal with all of the outside circumstances that have to go with that emergency. If you're having a lousy day or a bad week, you expect the company to forgive you for your reduced productivity in those circumstances. This is the give and take. It goes exactly like that.
In the same way, in the opposite way, that when there's a push on, the company expects that you'll work some extra hours, and most of us will. The company needs ideas. You're expected to put forth your best ideas. You don't save some up just because you don't, you know, I only get paid $15 an hour, so you only get my $15 ideas.
Right?
That's not how it works. And most of us will do that. Most of us, that's what we're doing. When the company wants to get the team together for training or bonding or whatever they're calling it, they expect that you will be able to travel, you'll be willing to do so, and stay a couple of nights away from home. And when you refuse or you make it difficult, you're damaging the relationship between you and your boss and you and the company. You're embarrassing your boss, who has to report to his boss that not all of his team will be present. And you're reducing the efficiency of the team because everyone else will know something that you don't. That's part of that social thing as well. You know, everybody went to dinner and there was a joke and now everybody knows the joke except you. It's a separation thing. You know, if it was training, then there's the actual knowledge that you needed. And then there's that kind of interstitial relationship bit. You're saying that this job isn't as important to me as whatever it is that you're staying home for. Now, if that's your wedding, no, kind of fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
But this job isn't as important to me as being home every single night by 6 p.m. is not the message that a career-focused career tools listener wants to send. Because your boss will draw conclusions, they'll be negative, and he'll be reasonable in drawing those conclusions.
Absolutely, they will. Travel, team meetings, and training are often seen as fun, or at the very least helpful. They can be inconvenient, but a willingness to attend will keep you on the right side of your boss. If you say no, someone else will say yes. So say yes.
That's true. Your default is yes. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye, everyone. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more guidance.